Welcome back to the Hygge Nurse Podcast, a podcast where we blend the art of Hygge with health and wellness to create lives filled with warmth and contentment. I'm Rachel Zimmer, your host, a nurse researcher, and a really passionate advocate for well-being. Today, I'm delighted to introduce you to someone who really embodies the spirit of Hygge in her own work. Joining us is Simone Smith. She's a dedicated mental health therapist, and she is the visionary founder of Calm Joy Candle Company. She has a unique blend of therapeutic expertise and then these beautiful handcrafted candles that will just bring a lot of tranquility and peace to your fast-paced life. So at Calm Joy Candle, Simone doesn't just create candles. She gives you experiences of calm and joy. She makes each one with intention. And today we're going to just explore some of her work as a mental health therapist, her passion for creating soothing spaces with her candles, and then also ways that you can integrate mindfulness into your home and how a simple candle could transform your space. So find a cozy spot, maybe even light a candle, and join us as we dive into some conversation today on the Hygge Nurse. She's a remarkable mental health therapist and the owner and founder of the Calm Joy Candle Company. Simone has a really unique approach to mental health. She blends her therapeutic expertise with the soothing power of scent in candles. And I call it smell therapy, which probably has a better name. Yeah. So one of the reasons I love the Calm Joy Candle Company is that Simone's craft is not just beautiful, but it's also designed to promote mental health well-being and a sense of calm. So hey, Simone, good to meet you again.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, so thank you for being here. I'm really excited. I know I got to be on your podcast. That was fun. And so I wanted to take a moment and just introduce people to who you are, what made you passionate about your career in general, and then what inspired you to start your candle making company. So we'll start there. So what is it that makes you passionate about your career as a mental health therapist and as a business owner now?
Yeah, I've always just loved to help people. I really do feel like my life's mission is like sharing and helping. Ever since I was a little girl, I can remember just loving helping people, loving to share. And I actually see a lot of that in my daughter as well. So it's just very interesting when you just see yourself reflected in like someone, especially your child. I see it in my son a little bit too, but I really see it in my daughter. She really loves to get in where she can help. But I've always enjoyed that. I've always just loved being a part of things. And like I said, just sharing. And so actually when I was younger, I never thought that I would be a mental health therapist. I wanted to be like a teacher when I was growing up. And then I ended up being a school counselor because I just didn't want to like be in the classroom that much. Even though as a school counselor, you are in the classroom sometimes. And then I kind of made my way over to being a mental health therapist because as I was working with the students, usually when you're dealing with students in like academics, if they're like presenting issues or problems, we call it it's a manifestation, but I feel like it's a big word, but it's usually a result of some other things being off in the home, with the family, with whatever. And so at first I thought I didn't want to get into that kind of stuff. I liked just referring out to people as a school counselor. Like I didn't have to worry about it. But then as I was working with students and eventually the family, like in the school system, there's a lot of like red tape. Your hands are held, like you can't do certain things like legally. And so I kind of wanted to get to a space where I could really get in there and really help the family. And that's how I kind of ended up moving over into being a mental health therapist and working primarily the practice that I work for. We work a lot with families. I work with couples, with children, with everybody. But usually when you're working with the child, you have to involve the family because it's just part of their like, you know, immediate infrastructure. And if we can put supports in with the parents or grandmom or whoever's at home, it provides a better outcome for that child. So that's how I kind of ended up in that space. I've been loving it. When I tell people that I'm a mental health therapist, they're like, oh my gosh, like, I feel so bad for you. Like, and I'm like, no, like, I actually really like doing this. And people think it's this really stressful, stressful job. And it does have stressful components to it. But like, you learn how to handle some of the things that come across your desk or plate or whatever you want to say. And as a therapist, we're given a lot of tools and trainings to be able to support people. And so it's not this big, scary thing. And then I also love who I work for too. That's like a big deal as well. But that's how I ended up in that. And so I actually started the business before I became a mental health therapist. I was still a school counselor, but I was in the process. I was like, you have in New Jersey, you have to do 3 years of supervised hours in order to like apply for your license. So I was a school counselor. I was in the middle of getting all of my supervised hours. And then I was pregnant with my son, my second child. And the pandemic was happening. It was scary. It was all these different things. And I really just was looking for an outlet. And I had always loved candles. But with my first pregnancy with my daughter, I was having some complications. And even though candles had nothing to do with it, it's just when you have, for me, having complications when I was pregnant made me look at every little thing. Mm-hmm. Because I was just looking for what can I do to help? What could possibly be hurting? What, you know, like, what can I do? I wanted to do something. And so I started looking at ingredients, just not just candles, but everything. Like, I didn't know this wasn't that. This wasn't all of these things. And I'm becoming like this, I guess the term is like crunchy mom at that time, even though she wasn't born yet. But I was like really into all of everything, like, you know, soaps, everything, just, it was just everything. And, when I had her, I ended up making like some candles and stuff, but I really was just like dibbling and dabbling. It was more of just like a DIY type of thing. But then with my son during the pandemic, I was looking for an outlet. I'm like, you know what? I used to make candles. Like, let me try that again. Like, let me like really look into it. And I think I had gone to, it was like Michael's or somewhere, one of those like craft stores, and they had coconut wax there. And I had never heard of that, never seen it. And ended up experimenting with that. And I was like, oh, I really like this wax. Like, I like using it. I like the way it burns, all of that. And then was getting into fragrances and all of that stuff. And then as us small business owners do, we think like, oh my gosh, like maybe I can make this a business. So,
yeah, let's do that.
Even though, yeah, I know, like why not? And so that's kind of how that happened, even in the midst of all of these different things going on. And looking back, I didn't really realize what a business was at that time. And so it was more of just like a hobby that like I would make money from is how I would more so describe it. I really wasn't like running a business. And shortly after I started, I ended up taking a business course. And then I realized, oh, this is what would be required if I really wanted this to be a business. And so I had to make the decision, do I just want this to be a hobby? And like, this could just be something. And once the pandemic kind of like fizzles out, I can stop, or like, where can I really take this thing? And so me, I always want to take things to the, I don't know, the 10th degree, or just take them all the way there. I was like, I really think I want this to be a business. And I was just like, I really like believe in this. I really believe I can put a mission with this business. And even though it's quote unquote just candles, like you said, our sense of smell is one of our just senses, and they're very, very important. And a lot of people during the pandemic didn't realize how important their sense of smell was until if they had gotten COVID and then they couldn't use it. You realize you're using it a lot more than you think. And it's giving your body a lot more information than you realize. And so with, especially with scents, they usually can tie with like memory, nostalgia. They bring up, you know, feelings, like all of that is all connected. And you really wouldn't think that that like, that sense, one of our, you know, we would think maybe like visual or audio, but that sense, our sense of smells really tied to memory. And so a lot, so there's some candle companies that focus on memory. And then it's just, it's connected to feelings, because when we have a certain memory, it like conjures up a feeling that we had at that time. And that's what kind of brings up all those feelings and stuff. And so to be able to connect that and help people and just try to create a space that's a little bit more calm or joyful. And that's why I kind of have the two names together, but to just be able to create that space. Allowing ourselves to create space. I think we sometimes aren't as intentional with creating space for ourselves and what we're trying to do, and to remind people to be intentional about creating a space where you can grow. And a lot of where my business is going now, you know, things are always shifting and pivoting, right? So a lot of where my business is going now is big on growth and personal growth. Mm-hmm. And what that looks like, and how we can maybe not be as resistant to it, or what we can do to help along the journey. And that's kind of where I've been taking my messaging with my business. And that's something that's like really near and dear to my heart, because I feel like my life has had so many twists, turns, curves, bumps, all of that. And There's been a lot of personal growth that's happened in the midst of all of that. And sometimes I bump into people and they're in this really, really tough season. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for them to see what is life going to look like after this season. It's scary. Yeah. It's all the things. And I hope that my brand and the mission can be almost like a beacon of hope, almost like a lighthouse. Like, we don't have to be the light at the end of the tunnel, but, like, you know, if you're out there in the middle of nowhere in the ocean and you don't know what to do, you see this little bitty light, like kind of like swinging in the fog or the mist, and you just know that somebody's there, support is near, you're going to be okay. It's going to be choppy. You know, the waters, there might be a couple storms, mm-hmm. but there's still hope. And so that's kind of like where I'm trying to drive, you know, the messaging of my brand at this time. So I know that was like a long-winded response to everything.
Oh, you brought up so many thoughts. I was just thinking about the science behind smell and your brain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do, I'm a primary care provider for people who have dementia. And mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. as you lose your memory, smells actually become more important. So mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I have counseled people on the use of lavender to help with rest. Mm-hmm. And just, I don't know that people realize that it's, you know, smells skip logic. So they go straight to like the core memories. And that's, I was thinking about your mangosteen candle for me.
Yeah.
Every time I smell that, I think of like a specific trip that I went on, and it just brings back sort of those memories. So I totally understand where you're going with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's that scent is supposed to be like a vacation summery, like it's a fruity, like more scent. And so it is supposed to bring up, I'm glad that's the memories it brings up for you, because that's what it's supposed to do, because it's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, mm-hmm. maybe talk a little bit about your blends, because I think you're very specific about your blends. I've mm-hmm. looked at the combination. Are there any favorites that you have or any that you recommend for certain feelings that you're wanting to go for?
Yeah, I love floral scents, and I don't know if I can tie it to a specific memory, but I love the spring. And so when I smell a floral scent, it just makes me think of like an open field with like a little breeze and just like being really calm, maybe even like laying under a tree or something like that. Like, it brings up that type of feel for me. And so the Plant Mama, the Wildflowers and Sea mm-hmm. Air scent is like my favorite of like all, like every scent I've ever like played with, whatever, that's like still my top one that I just love. So if people are looking for that, I would recommend that one. And it's almost like some of the scents kind of go with the season. So like I said, that the Ladies Paradise, when you're talking about the mangosteen, that kind of goes with mm-hmm. like the summer, even like spring or summer. I have my spring scents that are like lemon and lavender. I know it's a lot of like cleaning time. It's refreshing. Some people aren't just cleaning their home. They're just cleaning their life, or like, you know, decluttering and that whole thing. And so those scents are really good for like clarity and like opening the space, feeling like the space is just clean and clear. I have some, like, we call them gourmand scents or like food scents, but the creamy vanilla and the coconut sugar, that one's more like a sweet, almost like a cake kind of scent. And I ended up naming it Baby Deer just because it reminds me of my kids and them getting older and their birthdays. And it's just like this sweet, gentle scent. And then the Mr. Right is the honey and bourbon. And so that's like a smokier scent. A lot of my male customers gravitate towards that scent, and that's how it got that name. But that's like a smoky, like, I don't want to say cigar, but kind of sort of like sitting by the fire, like, you know, enjoying like, you know, whatever you like to drink, if you drink, or even just a hot cup of tea and like the fireplace is going. And so I kind of, with the names, try to like match them with like the scenery that you might experience when you're like lighting the candle, or just the feeling or the person, that sort of thing. And so that's kind of how I name them. Now, some of my scents had different names before, and a lot of candle companies do this, and I do this too. Sometimes we play with the name, because especially selling candles online, you're really trying to get people to feel what the scent is like because they can't smell it. And so some of the names might change at some point in the future. But yeah, that's kind of how, and the scent. So I actually use like pre-blended scents from this one company. There's a couple companies that I use, but they kind of pre-blend them. And then I do like the testing phase and all of that stuff too. But that's what I've done so far. I would love to have like a super, like work with a fragrance company at some point to do like a really custom blend that just is for us. But that would be like in the future type of thing. But that would be really exciting to have something that you would only find with us, that we've tested or smelled or mixed in all the different things. So, yeah.
I've come to appreciate how complicated candle making is.
It is. It's definitely a science and an art. You know, when I first like got into it, I was just throwing stuff together and like melting it and, you know, and then when I realized like more so during the pandemic that there's formulas, there's ratios, there's all of these different things, the way that, you know, the compounds mix together. And I'm like, I don't want to get into the molecules and everything. Even when you're melting the wax, it has to be melted to a certain temperature. When you add the fragrance, it has to be added at a certain temperature and then poured at a certain temperature. And sometimes all those temperatures are different. And so you really have to kind of like master the craft a little bit, which really just comes from doing it repeatedly, like anything else, like practicing and honing the skill. So definitely. And once you get it, you kind of, it's like second nature, and even different fragrance oils sometimes, depending on like how heavy they are. So like my honey and bourbon scent is heavier than like my lemon and lemon blossom and sima scent. So like it's heavy. So it's like it's interesting in the way that they weigh and what you add and the ratio and all of those different things. And so, and even the temperature of the room that you're pouring in can affect how everything, yeah, is combined. And so your candles might look a little bit different when you pour them in the winter than when you might pour them in like the humid summer. So it's a lot of different nuance and, you know, a lot of different things that you just figure out along the way. Like anything else, there's Facebook groups and stuff that kind of help and all of that stuff. But it's a journey, just like anything else. And so when you bring a new scent into your like brand or collection, it starts like a whole new testing process that you kind of have to go through. And so that like adds to the product development as well.
That's fascinating. You know, I know you use specifically essential oils and natural fragrances, and there's a reason for that. And I'm not sure that a lot of people understand why that's important. Would you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So, and like I was referring to my pregnancies, you know, a lot of what we have in the air, when you're burning something and you're putting these extra molecules into the air, they definitely do have an effect on our body. And so you don't want to burn something that's putting really harmful, I don't want to use the word nasty, but toxic chemicals into the air, because you, your family, your pets, and everybody are breathing them. And you don't want to create any issues with like your lungs or your breathing or your body. And I'm always like, especially like during allergy time, like I'm a little nasally now. I'm like, the last thing I want to do is create any more issues for breathing.
Right.
So that's kind of, you know, why I tend to go with those fragrances and even the wax that you're burning. And again, the candle industry has come so far that a lot of the waxes that are used are pretty clean burning. But sometimes if you have like an old candle or really like cheap candle, and you'll notice when you burn it, there's a lot of soot. You have to think you're putting all of these soot molecules out into the air. And that's why, you know, a lot of candle makers are big on trimming your wicks, because sometimes when you have like a wick that's this long and you burn the whole thing and there's just all this soot everywhere, it's like, you don't want to put that, you know, into the air. You don't want to put like a bonfire into the air, especially in your home where it might be like closed doors, closed windows, and you're kind of just trapping all this air. You want to try to keep your air as clean as possible. I know it's 2024 and we just have a lot of things going in our house. But I don't want to add to anyone's environment with like negative chemicals or toxicity or anything like that.
Yeah. And I know it does cause breathing difficulties and then headaches too.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that migraines and headaches or chronic headaches can come from what you're burning in your house.
Yeah. And that was something that I used to get a lot of times with the store-bought, you know, more like more cheaper made, like big factory machine made candles. Like I used to get headaches and I used to experience nausea as well with some of the candles. And that was something that I'm like, there has to be a better way. There has to be a way for me to still enjoy a candle without like my head hurting and feel like I'm about to throw up. And so that's how I got on my journey. And like, I wasn't bothered by them. And I have an aunt who has really bad allergies, and she actually is not really affected by them either. So it's, I don't make any, I know we can't make any like medical claims or anything like that with them, but when people do ask, they're like, oh, I have allergies, I have this, like, will I still be able to do this? I'm like, I think you can. Like, I can't guarantee anything, but I tell them about my experience with my family members or just different people I know, and then they can make their own decision if they want to still buy the candle or not.
Yeah, that's great. And I was just thinking about where I actually have your candles in my home. I have the baby deer in my kitchen because it reminds me of food.
They go mine.
And then I really love your lavender, and I actually have that near my writing space. So when I'm
Oh,
writing, I
nice.
tend to burn that one. So,
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I like that. That was one of the newer scents that I did. And I actually almost didn't do a lavender scent just because every candle company has one. And I don't know, I was just like, oh, I like to do something different. And I had so many people asking me, do you have a lavender candle? Do you have a lavender? I said, okay, I'll do one. And that's how that one came. And so I like it though, because it's a little, it has the cardamom in it. So it's a little, it's not just like a straight lavender. I don't know, I like scents where it's not just a simple, plain, like one kind of scented thing. I like them a little bit more complex, a little bit of a richer scent. Even some of them are more earthy. And so that's kind of the ones that I tend to gravitate towards just with my candle line. Because I just think it just adds more to the space, at least for me. And I get feedback from customers too. But it just adds a little bit of complexity to the scent, which I really like.
Yeah, thank you. So what are your plans? You kind of hinted to this, but like what's your next steps with the candle company? What are you planning to do?
We're in almost like 50 retailers now.
Wow.
I'm hoping to continue to expand that. This year's been a little bit slower for me, which I'm getting from a lot of other businesses as well. But I always love to be positive, and so I always say this is a great opportunity to really take a look at the business, really fine-tune some things, even learn some new skills that I can use in the business. Like I said, I don't have any business background, so it's been a steep learning curve. So I try to take, the more slower moments. And then usually in the summer, candles usually tend to hit a little bit of a slump for a lot of candle companies. So I try to take the time to learn more about social media, learn more about content marketing, all of these different things. But hopefully to just continue to expand, expanding my website, expanding just people knowing about me, just kind of putting myself out there. On social media, I've been like putting, I guess my face out there more, like on my brand page. I'm not a big social media person at all. People see my personal page. I don't think I've posted on my feed since like 2021 on my personal page. And I'll post like quotes or something in my stories, but my business page, I've really been trying to keep on top of it and really grow. So that's kind of what I've been doing with that. And like I said, kind of pivoting the messaging to personal growth and of kind of like being there on your journey as you're growing. And hopefully in the future, maybe being able to put some different products in place for that. I'm hoping to also like collab with some other like brands that, have the mission of personal growth as well, and see if there's any ways for us to do that. I'm trying to think what else. I think that's about it. Like I said, just kind of learning more about business, and what I can do and pivoting and for me to grow, my own personal growth. I feel like as a business owner, you are stretched and pulled and you have to grow in a lot of different ways. And especially when you make your own products, when you get feedback that isn't bad, but maybe it's constructive criticism, it can kind of like sting a little bit because you're like, oh my gosh, they hate me. And they don't hate you. They're just trying to get you. And a lot of it is when I get stuff like some people might say they don't love wooden wicks or something like that. And it's not personal, maybe it's just based on their experience or, whatever it might be. And so just getting feedback about my brand as well. Some people might say, oh, like, I don't really like, I'm making this up, but I don't like floral scents or something, whatever it might be. And just being able to take constructive criticism and use that, let it be constructive and use that to help you grow your brand and to try not to take things personally, And so,
That's
yeah,
good.
I'm trying to think. I'm
That's
sorry,
good
go
life
ahead.
advice. I was going to say that's good life
Yes.
advice.
Yeah, just trying not to take things personally. I know a lot of times it feels personal, and a lot of times it's just not. Like, a lot of people have their own stuff going on. Even when I haven't done pop-ups in a while, because for me they were really taxing, and I had a hard time really finding, or I had a few that like resonated with my brand, but some of the places I was at, they just weren't resonating. And some people would come up and they would give feedback, or they would just be in like not a great mood. And I would be like, I don't know, take it personally. Then I had to stop and say, things could have happened well before they got to my table. They might have woken up, they might have gotten some bed, whatever it was, it really has nothing to do with me. And just kind of try to separate that out.
I
And
know
like
that
you
can
said,
feel
just been like,
hard. I think about even as a business owner myself, now, it does feel like it's an extension of yourself, I think. And I think in a way that maybe when you work for a company, yes, you put a lot into it, but it's different because this sort of kind of birthed it out of you in a different way. And so I do feel that connection to, your business and how you really do have to put a boundary down and say, listen, this is an extension of me, but this is not me, right? This is not, and personal opinions are varied and there's millions of them.
And it's hard because, especially as a business owner, I think I saw someone else talking about this. You can get 100 great comments of feedback, and you get one little, like, not great feedback, and you just kind of stay hung up on that one instead of thinking, out of the, and so just trying to be like, there's other people that have given me really great feedback, and maybe my brand just isn't for them. It's not really supposed to be for everybody, and that's all, and being okay with that. And kind of just going from there. So definitely something that I think I had to work on in the beginning. And like you said, this is an idea from my mind. And so when someone's critiquing it, I birthed it. I haven't birthed it like I birthed my other children, but it feels like a child that's been birthed from my brain. And everything about my brand is essentially because I haven't really, I'm not working with anybody to like scale it or to really like with the packaging or anything. Like, there's professional people, and I did have someone create my logo and stuff. But other than that, everything is just like from my brain and like ideas that I've had or inspiration that I've used and then incorporated into my brand. And so, it feels like, ouch, like this is something that like I thought it was good or I thought it was great, and it's not really resonating with someone.
Yeah, I feel that. So you talked a little bit about personal growth. Do you have any advice to share with people who are wanting to think about their own personal growth?
Oh man. What did I see? I saw a quote, and I think it said, "You grow through what you go through," and that resonated with me a lot because when I talk about people resisting growth, I think that at one time, I might have been one of those people, or I was someone that would try to prevent like negative outcomes. But the longer that I've lived, and I'm 32, so I mean, I'm not old, but I'm getting older. I'm living life, and some of the hardest experiences that I've gone through have been some of like my key just moments or stages that I grew a lot through those experiences. And so I really wouldn't go back and change anything. There are still some things I'm like, man, I could have done that differently, but it made me who I am today. And just thinking that there is a purpose. I know there's some really dark things out here. I'm like, what's the purpose behind that? But I believe there is still a purpose behind even some of these negative things that are happening, especially personally. Things that I'm like, man, why did this have to happen? Or why did it have to happen that way? But it's like when I think about who I am today, it helped me grow into this person. And who I am is needed for who I'm going to be, if that makes sense, for me to like get to that next level and to continue to hit these next levels. And I wouldn't be the kind of mom that I am today if I hadn't gone through some difficult stuff. I had to really grow as a person, and I feel like it makes me a much better mom. I'm patient. I've always been pretty kind, but I'm just very understanding. Even with my clients, like I'm very non-judgmental. I know we can always hear situations or see things, and we're like, what? Like, why would they help? And I'm like, look, things happen. Stuff happens. things kind of snowball out, you know, things can get out of control. And we don't have to like judge ourselves or, you know, attach shame to those experiences.
Right.
It's just an experience, you know, and we just try to learn through it and grow through it and appreciate who we are and then also who we're going to be once we make it through this experience. So I don't know if that's advice. I guess my advice is just like, don't always try to avoid the pain. Like, I know it's really hard to sit in it. A lot of, you know, when I work with my clients with therapy, a lot of it is learning how to sit in negative emotions and how to regulate your emotions to get you back to a regulated space. But it's okay to sit in it. I know it's very it's uncomfortable still for me. I can sit in other people's negative emotions because that's my job. But when I have to sit in my own negative emotions after a really negative personal experience, it's hard. And I've had to learn how to process things and work through things in a healthy way, you know, and build up my own coping skills for stuff. But even as a parent, there's days where everything's off the hook, everything's out of control, and I'm totally dysregulated, and I've still got to do bath time and bedtime. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? Like, I'm done right now. How am I going to do this? And learning how to regulate, you know, but going through those tough moments, even with like a newborn, I feel like makes you a better mom, makes you a better parent, because you've been in the fire, so to speak, with parenthood. And you're able to kind of meet the rest of parenting challenges a little bit better as you work on your patients and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you brought up something. Like, I actually feel the same way where sometimes at the end of the day, I'm tired. And it can be easy to attach shame to, oh, I was just really short with my child. And then they brought it up the next day, right? Mom, were you mad at me when you said this? And and you were like, no, I was just tired. And so it can, you can go one of two ways there, right? Like, you could go, I'm going to attach shame to this. I'm going to beat myself up over it. And then, or you could sit in that and say, what was happening in that moment? And why was I feeling that way? And then what is it that I could do to maybe buffer that next time? And those are two paths to take. And I think that's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah. And like I love how you mentioned, what can I do to, like, again, I guess like not prevent, but like, what do I need in that moment so that this isn't like a recurring thing? Not to say that it's never going to happen again, but maybe I need a cup of tea. Maybe I need calming music in the background. Maybe I need 5 minutes just to myself, and I can get everybody in the habit of leaving mom alone for 5 minutes. You know, what do I need to kind of help this situation? Because a lot of times that like tension during the bedtime, bath time stuff is a lot for a lot of parents. There's the after dinner cleanup, there's the sports, there's whatever's going on. And it's like this witching hour. You know, you have the witching hour with the newborn where they're screaming and hollering in the evening. And you have this similar witching hour with our kids as they get older, because they're just involved in all these different things. And there's a lot of moving parts. And sometimes the kids are tired and everybody's just tired and cranky and short with each other. But like you said, how do we help with this as a family? How do we buffer this moment? Like, what do we need so that this isn't just like a recurring everyday thing?
Yeah. That's like great. That. And I was, and knowing that it's not linear either, right? Like I remember on the previous podcast episode, we were talking about eating more plant-forward foods and that it's not a diet and that you didn't fail if you didn't eat plants one day, right? Like those are, it's just this, life is circular. You're going to have to adjust and readjust. And so just allowing for that grace, I think, where maybe we're just really hard on ourselves.
I'm like, we're only humans. We're not robots. We're not AI. We're not any of these things. So it's like, you know, humans are wired and built a certain way. And one of, you mentioned the plant forward eating, and that's something that I try to do and I'm trying to get better at, because it does help my energy levels. I notice a big difference. And even drinking water is like a huge thing for me. If I don't drink water that day, I'm literally like a plant. And by the end, if there's one of those plants where they just droop, that's me. When I don't drink water, I'm just drooping by the end of the day. So I'm like, I have to stay on top of this water thing, which I'm usually pretty good at. But it's a very noticeable difference in my energy levels when I'm not drinking water. So that's something I've just had to stay on top of. And like you said, the plant forward. And like you said, it's not like this strict diet. It's just like, how can I add more plants into my day? To help with not just energy, but a lot of different things with our body functioning.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So, do you have any books or podcasts that you want to recommend? I know you have your own podcast, so you could start there.
It's just the Calm Joy podcast. For me, it's kind of ebbing and flowing. Like, I try to be consistent with it, but I'm taking a little bit of a break from it right now. But there's still, I should know how many episodes is on it, and I can't recall. I think there's like 20 or 30 episodes on there, and they're short and sweet. A lot of them just me kind of like giving like some encouragement on like a Friday. And as far as podcasts, I've been looking for more podcasts. I was going to sit here and try to scroll. I've been listening to a lot of business podcasts, so I don't know if that's helpful for your audience. I don't have any like mental health ones per se. I do listen to Mel Robbins sometimes, and she's not mental health, but she just goes over a lot of different, just human stuff. Let's see, that's really the only one I think that maybe is relevant. I'm trying to pull up some of these ones. But I'm always looking for, I was listening to this, it was a therapy one, and the woman was doing almost like live therapy sessions with people.
Oh, wow.
I think her name is Esther Perel. And she was kind of doing like live therapy sessions and just helping the person walk through what they were going through. And a lot of people come to therapy for solutions or just answers and advice. And that's what we really don't do. And so people get frustrated when they're like, I thought that you were just going to tell me what to do. Yeah. And it's like, no, because like when you make a decision, I want you to be able to hold the responsibility and the power of the decision that you made, not, oh, well, my therapist or someone told me to do this. And now it blew up in my face or did really well. And like, I want you to be able to take ownership of what's happening in your life. So I'm here as we walk on the journey, and I can offer a little bit of guidance maybe, or offer different ways for you to think about things, but I can't really tell you what to do. You know, that's like more so your, so some of the clients on there are kind of like, they just want her to tell them what they should do. And she's like, I can't, like, this isn't my life. Like,
right.
I can't just tell you. So it's been interesting with that one. But yeah, now that you mentioned like Plant Forward, maybe I'll look into some things like that. I do like parenting stuff. So I don't have any podcasts, but the Parent Q is like a website blog kind of thing that has a lot of good tips, for parenting that I also like to look at as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. All right. So what is a message that you hope people take away from your story, your products? Anything?
That you can do anything. And the journey may not look the way that you thought it would. But I don't want anyone to look at their past or any experiences that they've had and be like, oh, now I can't do blank. Now I can't do such and such. There's always a way. You just have to find it. That's like a motto that I live by. There's always a way. It may not be the way that you want. And it may be a way that's going to like force you to grow. But there's always a way. There's always a way to do something. And to just, you know, even with my kids, like, you can say the phrase, I can't, but I really encourage my kids to think in a way of like, how can I do this? Like, let's not sit here and say, I can't. How can I do this? Or maybe we need to take a break from it and come back to it. You know, my son was putting his shoes on the other day and he was having a, you know, frustrated or whatever it was. He's like, I can't. I'm like, you can. I'm like, you've done this before. You can do it. And he did it, of course. But even just in life, as we get older, I know sometimes we feel like I just can't do this. And you can. We just have to figure out a way for you to do it.
Yeah.
That's like really my good life motto.
I love that. All right. And the most important question of them all, if you could be a macaroni shape, which one would you pick?
Yes. And I guess I'm not too big on macaroni. So I was like Googling some things. And I don't know the technical term, but like the really squiggly ones.
Yeah.
That's the ones I use for spaghetti to like make it less messy for my kids, especially my son. But that makes me think of me because it's like all these twists, turns, curves, but it's still so good. So that kind of just reminds me of my life. It's just a lot of winding curves and twists and turns, but still makes this really great meal or life or, you know, whatever term you want to put on it. So that's kind of the one that I pick. Again, I don't know the technical term, and hopefully
I can
Your
see it in my
audience, or
head.
you know which one I'm talking. Okay, the really curly ones.
I think every mom
That's the
knows
one that's my
that
favorite.
specific one.
Yes. Yeah. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Simone, thank you so much for your time today. It's been
Yes.
such a pleasure.
Yes, the same. Thank you so much for having me. I was so excited. I was a little nervous because I'm like, I don't know. I just get, as I was telling you before, I just kind of get nervous about things. But I was excited. It was like an excited nervous, like anticipation, I guess, kind
Yeah.
of feeling is what I had. Yeah.
It's been a ton of fun. We've learned a lot.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, that's a wrap on today's really enlightening conversation that I had with Simone Smith. She's the founder and CEO of the Calm Joy Candle Company. I feel like she gave us a lot of really great tips on how to integrate smells into your wellness routine, and we even got to dive into the science of smells a little bit as well. And I learned a ton about candle making that I really didn't know before. So for all of our listeners, if you're inspired to learn more about Simone's company, please be sure to visit her website, which is linked in our show notes. We've also included links to Simone's recommended resources. Thank you so much for being a part of the Huga Nurse. Your support and engagement are really invaluable to us. If you found our conversation insightful, we would be really grateful if you could share it with a friend or leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. We always really look forward to your feedback. So until next time, keep nurturing your mind, body, and spirit. Stay cozy and connected, and goodbye for now.